This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to another Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports, Michael Gannon and Craig Swan. Guys, good to see you.
All right, guys, good to see you. Good to see you. Me and Swan, well, for those of you can see on the video, me and Swan have both had haircuts this morning. Swan looks like a luscious Wembley surface, and I look like Dens Park.
Topical. I like that. Topical. I think the best place to start, guys, is probably at Celtic Park, because we're sitting here today and I don't think even the most kind of, positive Celtic fan would think they'd be 4 points clear at the moment. Obviously, it came from a win over St Mirren. Mick, I know you were there. First half, quite rocky, but got there in the end. Is that fair enough?
It was, I think, a wee bit like the Ibrox the week before. I think it was a bit of a game of two halves. I think the conditions had a major factor in it as well, with the wind. I don't think we can underestimate the impact this is having in games across the country this last few weeks. First half, St Mirren really organised a good old-fashioned low block, which we've seen at Celtic Park teams doing this season. And Celtic didn't really create anything at all. I mean, they really struggled to get through. A few St Mirren injuries did to reshape things a wee bit. Second half, Celtic came out, wind at the back, all guns blazing, got the goal, crucially, early in the second half. And from that point on, really relaxed, played some really good stuff, and three was the kind of least they could have got to that game. It could have been 4, 5, 6 by the end. Zach Hemmings made a couple of great saves, a couple of chances getting missed, but it was a really comfortable afternoon in the end, and some pretty good football getting played as well. And then, so from being at halftime, and listen, I've got to say, Celtic Park at halftime, I've been at a few of these games this season where the punters have been a bit grumpy. They've had 45 minutes to let a goal and they've got a bit tetchy at half time, maybe a couple of boos here and there and all that stuff. It didn't really happen on Saturday. There's a bit more patience getting shown. They seem to stick with the team. I don't think it's that thing. It's not a consciously reaction to kind of getting top of the team. It's just a frustration that comes out sometimes and that can translate onto the pitch. It never really happened at the weekend. A bit more patience involved and it paid off. And by the end, it was a really comfortable afternoon. 24 hours later, the result comes back from Dingwall and it turns into a dream weekend for Celtic because the way that the league has been set up. I think that the result at Ibrox was a big one for Celtic and I don't think it tipped it to the advantage as such, but I think it did have an impact. I think it was more positive in terms of Celtic's final section of the season. That one on Sunday has tipped the balance back in their favour now. You've got to say, I think it's a long way to go. I think there's more twists to come as well. But you've got to say they've got momentum. They've got the kind of positive vibes. The pressure is now piling on across the city. And Celtic fans couldn't have asked for a better weekend, really.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough, Sonny, isn't it? I mean, we're waiting for these post-split fixtures, which obviously Celtic have two away games. I think I'm right in saying it's going to be Rugby Park and maybe Tynecastle. Is that right? I mean, they're not going to be easy.
Celtic have been to Tynecastle twice this season already. So not
as sure. I said that, I thought, is that right?
But Rugby Park and Dens Park, I would have thought. And notorious Dens Park.
There you go. That's why you guys are on the pod.
I don't know. I think Rangers are going to go three times to Dens and Celtic. I think Dundee are going to go to Celtic three times, try and balance it out. So I don't think. I think Kilmarnock's definitely one of them. And I'm not sure about the other one.
That's that point. I think Celtic are also due to go back to St Mirren for a third time.
I think that's the one. I think it's St Mirren.
Kilmarnock and St Mirren away for Celtic if the Dundee game is switched, yes.
Well, yeah. Kelly alone, having lost twice there this season, it's not going to be easy, and I think you're right, Mick. It's far from over.
You only had to look at the English Premier League yesterday to see what happens at this time of a season. Things can go pear shaped for teams very quickly. A lot of things come into the equation that you haven't previously factored in. That's the one thing I'm sure that Celtic will take great positivity from, is the fact that I know there are a lot of new members within the squad who haven't been over the course, but there's also an awful lot of guys in there who have. They just from the evidence, I wasn't there on Saturday, Michael obviously was, but I was at the previous two games against Rangers and Livingston, and I don't know, there was just a sort of intent about Celtic in both games, I thought, that, you know, when they played at Livingston, then at Ibrox, I know things didn't go Celtic's way as they would have liked in the second half at Ibrox, but, you know, from having Hank and Gala from the weekend as well and having seen sections of the game since. Subsequently, they look as though there's an intent about Celtic, which tends to happen. Listen, Brendan Rodgers used the phrase, didn't he, Celtic come alive at this time of the season? Now, whether that was an attempt at a bit of psychology, I don't know, but it's certainly how it looks to me. Looking on from the outside anyway, certainly the last three performances have been full of intent and very good. And what, 9 goals, 3 games? Yeah. Very good.
Absolutely.
I don't think you can underestimate the impact of having Hatate back and Carter Vickers as well. It's night and day. Hatate, I think he's still got a bit to do to get up to speed fully, but he's got that midfield drive. He can get forward as well. I mean, he got his goal. His goal was sensational the way he took it.
Oh,
you know. He just brings a lot, and he actually helps Matt O'Reilly as well. He came out in a great game at the weekend. But I think at the back, Carter Vickers moves the ball quicker. He's very good with the ball at his feet. Solid, he must. I mean, know he can defend. He's solid. He's a machine back there. But he just gets that movement, the ball quicker, get the ball forward. Alongside him, it might make...
Michael, can I just come in there? I actually think there's something that he does that gets massively... underplayed as well, Carter Vickers, and you'll have seen plenty of games this season where it didn't happen. A good example of it would have been Motherwell at Fir Park, when in the first half Celtic, there was balls getting played over the top and teams were getting in behind, and even when Celtic were rescuing the situations, it was maybe 20, 30 yards from their own goal, and then they had to start the game 70 yards away from the opposition goal. When Carter Vickers plays, I noticed it in the home game against St Johnston, I think it might be in the game just before the last international break. As soon as the ball goes forward, he wins it on the halfway line. He wins it straight away.
Yeah.
The other team's midfield kind of got up the pitch. It then allows Celtic can just keep penning teams in and keep the momentum up and keep the pressure on and stay on the front foot. He's such a difference when he plays. He just nips things at source, nips them in the bud at source.
And he's attacks before they become attacks. No.
Straight away. Exactly. But the thing is, Celtic's midfield, the ball's been won back, and Celtic's midfield are maybe only 30, 35 yards for the other team's goal.
Yeah.
And they can just keep pressing on, whereas the game doesn't get stretched. Sometimes when Carter Vickers is playing one ball, I think that day against Motherwell, was it Theo Bear? No. Michael?
Yeah.
Lots of problems. And actually, the game at Livingston that I talked about earlier, the first couple of times in the first 5 minutes, there's balls launched in the direction of I think it's Tete Yenge, and he bustled up Liam Scales, and it sort of opened the game up. And for some reason, Tete Yenge thought it'd be a good idea to then move across to the other side onto Carter Vickers. Carter Vickers nipped it in the bud, and that set Celtic on the momentum for the game then. They then started to pen Livingston in. I think he's so important with that. It's not even his speed of pass. It's the way he breaks things up so quickly. Keeps Celtic on the foot all the time.
He's a very proactive centre half, isn't he? He likes to do that first contact. He's not wanting to stand off. He'll go in there quick and try and win it. But even if he does have to deal with something behind, he's sneaky quick for a big guy as well. Mm-hmm. He can shift. Alongside him, you Navroki, Mike Nairovki came back in for, I think he's only 7 or 8. I know.
I'd stick with Mike or the big pole.
Big Mick. he's only 7th or 8th start of the season. I thought he'd done all right. Whereas I think Carter Vickers is sneaky quick. I think Navroski is sneaky slow. I think when the ball goes over his head, he does seem a bit to struggle a bit. He's good also at getting that early contact to winning the ball. But I think he's got to, because I think Carter Vickers can recover and get him behind. I think he's a bit slower.
I also get the impression Carter Vickers is a lot more subtle about it.
He is. He needs to give up better as well.
Get 3 kicks away.
Definitely. But he is good with the ball at his feet as well. So that helps speed things up a bit, especially as the game wore on, as they got a bit more open. Mm-hmm. But there is, I think Swanee says that there's a wee bit of a kind of spring about Celtic just now, isn't there? I mean, the first half display against Rangers was as good as we've seen them this season. I think the second half was always inevitable what was going to happen in that game. I think with the conditions, with the wind turning around and the players that are weren't quite 100%, when you got guys like Hatate and McGregor coming on and not quite 100%, you know the pressure's coming with the wind. They can't quite get out as quick as they could in the first half. So I think it was inevitable it was going to be a hairy second period. Guys like Tomoki Iwata, who I thought tired as well. I mean, he's not used to playing. He's been playing pretty well, but he's not used to a game of that intensity for 90 minutes. And I thought by the end, he was struggling a bit, and that had an impact on Celtic in that game. Dyson Maeder, who obviously now is going to be missing the rest of the season with injury, he actually looked a bit leggy in that game as well. So that was inevitable. But come back from that game and get another positive result was huge. And another week for these guys, for Hatate, McGregor get more minutes as well. It's all kind of seems to be trending in the right direction for Celtic at the moment, going to Hampden this weekend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On the defence, Mick, when Scales, if and when he's fit again, do you think Rodgers will stick with Navroki or Scales back in?
I suspect he'll put Scales back in, to be honest with you. But I think he likes Liam Scales. I get the feeling he's still not entirely sold on Navroki. I don't know. Just a feeling you get. He's not played a lot. He's had a fitness issue this season, but he's had a few injury problems as well. And he took him off at the weekend again. As the game is well known, give Stephen Welsh some game time. So I suspect Scales would come back in if he's fully fit. I just get the feeling he's not sold completely on Navroki as yet. No, he's still a bit kind of raw, I think. But who knows?
Another player, obviously, who came away with pass marks at the weekend, Adam Ida.
We're having a nightmare there, aren't we?
As soon as I started there, I thought, oh, good. Adam Ida.
Rosetta Stone.
Sorry, Adam. Swanee, I think I'm right in saying 7 goals in 10 games, which, for a return, a player who was kind of, I don't know, people weren't exactly falling off their chairs when he was signed in January, but amazing return. There's reports that it could be as much as $6 million to sign him permanently, though. Would you push the boat out for that, or do you think he's worth that? What do you think?
On the basis of what has been seen so far, I would say absolutely.
Aye.
There's a couple of factors to take into what you just said there, Daniel. Adam Ida was a victim of Celtic's January transfer window dealings, or lack of. Mm-hmm. If Celtic had signed the new left back that the supporters wanted and this one and that one, and he was like one of four who came in the building, I don't think there would have been the same. Not pessimism is probably the wrong word, but there wouldn't have been the same kind of me attitude towards his signing. I think he was just unfortunate from that point of view that he was the only one. But his impact has been terrific. I think he's shown all aspects to his game. I mean, Celtic sending cross balls into the box and a guy getting up and scoring with headers, it hadn't been seen since, I know Kyogo did it on Saturday, but since Giakoumakis's time. He can hold the ball in, he can link the game, he's got a bit of pace and power in behind, he can finish, the goal record's good, he looks pretty mobile for a big fella. And if you look at the current market, and what is very good is his... the way it's the variation from Kyogo is a completely different type of striker, which is good. It means that Celtic don't always have to stick with. There was a lot of complaints earlier in the season that if plan A wasn't working, there wasn't really a successful plan B there in terms of the front players. You know, being able just to throw balls up there, and I know that's not the way Celtic want to play, but in certain situations, it certainly helps. I mean, and that's not just a case for getting goals either. Michael alluded to the game at Ibrox, and Celtic couldn't get out for a period in the game. Yet when Ida came on, they were able to get out because he was able to take it in, get a hold of it, bustle up Goldson. So it's not just a case of being able to sling balls into the box to score goals. It's also, you know, in situations in the Champions League, for example, when Celtic are under a bit of pressure, it'd be good to be able to hit someone and just alleviate a bit of stress for a while. So that it's not just the actual goals, but in terms of the current market and what you have to pay for players, I mean, it's not that long ago Celtic spent £4 million on Patrick Klamala. So if you're asking me £5 million as a bet for Adam Ida, then I would say yes, 100%. He's young as well, and he's only going to get better. I mean, he's young. You know, Brendan Rodgers made comparisons to him, and whether I'm not putting words into Brendan Rodgers' mouth. It wasn't direct comparisons with Moussa Dembélé, but he was making, you know, he was talking about how he got a player at a similar time and similar stages of their careers type of thing, and how he could see a lot of good attributes in there. Now, he's nowhere near as good as Moussa Dembélé at this stage, and whether he ever will be, I don't know. But certainly in terms of what he's given to Celtic in the second half of the season, I don't think anybody can argue with it. You know, and everybody says you get judged in the big games. Well, what did he have at Ibrox? 25 minutes, and he scored an absolutely massive goal, which really and truly should have been a winner. Right. If Celtic had done their job properly at the other end. So,
what more can you do?
I would say, I mean, you asked on the podcast a couple of weeks ago when I was on with you and Michael if Paolo Bernardo was worth 5 or 6. I mean, which one would you pay £5 or £6 million for right now? I know which one it would be for me. It'd be Adam Ida. Yeah.
Do you think we've got a deal done, Mick?
But listen, you told me the phrase was just push the boat out. Forget push the boat out. Lift the anchor and set sail. This is a guy, if it's £5 or £6 million, snap him up. I mean, in fact, you're actually on the point where it might be you can't afford not to bring him in. No. If the guy who's 23, he's done the business, he knows he can handle it, he can play in that setup. More importantly, I think he's shown that he's got the attitude and mentality to cope with it. I mean, listen, he walked in to a very kind of low-key response at best, Celtic fans, shrugged it off, done the business, scoring goals, penalty kicks in the last minute and all that stuff. I mean, shown guts, determination a lot. He's also, crucially, a bit different to Jack. I think he's quite similar to Jackie Marcus, actually, and he's the way he plays, but in a different way. He's not. He's 23. He's not a guy who's... He doesn't seem to be a guy that throws his toys at the pram if he's not starting. He's just determined to have an impact. He came off the bench at Ibrox, done it again on Saturday, and was a man possessed trying to make an impact. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of attitude that you want around it. People might say, listen, £6 million might be a bit rich for a guy who's not guaranteed to start, but we know that Celtic in the transfer market in the last 18 months or so, they've been a bit dithery, a bit kind of doddery times, waiting and waiting and not pulling the deals off. It's a guy right under their nose who's proven they can perform. Mm-hmm. The first point of business should be getting him snapped up on a long-term deal, as far as I'm concerned. He's sure enough. You don't get any guarantees when you make signings. This one's close to getting a guarantee because he's done it already. So I would think it's an absolute no-brainer. I think that the irony is that the better he plays for Celtic, the more his fee's going up. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens if you get a loan player in. You can't. It's happening. The same thing's happened with Mikey Johnson at West Brom. I mean, a guy who would potentially be going out for nothing in the summer is now, you're talking, we could be leaving for £5, £6, £7, £8 million, mm-hmm. or coming back a different prospect. So that's the chance to take the loan deals. But
Michael, sorry to break in, but that'd be fascinating if West Brom handed Celtic £5 million for Mikey Johnson, he could just hand it over to Adam Ida. I mean,
just
like when can that deal be done? Yesterday,
exactly. Write the check and send it to the Canaries. Exactly. It's a no brainer because it's not a gamble. Most signs are gambles, and this wouldn't be a gamble because you know what they're going to get. I got a guy who's young, hungry, knows the club, has the mentality, and isn't going to be banging doors every week if he isn't playing every week from the start because he knows he's got a part to play.
See, just on Mikey Johnson there, guys. I wasn't going to ask this, but since he's been brought up, Championship Player of the Month, one of my good mates is a West Brom fan, and he can't believe how good he is. He's, you know, stunned at how good he's been. Do you think there's any way back at Celtic? Or is this, you know, he's obviously shown it's easier, you know, the weight of the jersey and all that. I mean, I don't know what you think, is he?
I think there may be something and I should apologise. Obviously, Nicholas Kuhn was signed as well as Adam Ida in January, and has obviously gone into the position that Mikey Johnson was occupying. Listen, I think there might be something in what you're saying, Daniel. Now, we've all been fortunate enough to be around football and be around different cities and be around different places, and you always think that the world revolves around where you are. I mean, if you go to Birmingham and you see the passion for West Brom and Aston Villa and Birmingham and Wolves just a little bit further out and things like that, I mean, it's just as intense playing down there as well. But there's just certain places just that doesn't just seem to work. And I just can't see it happening for Mikey Johnson now at Celtic. I just think that the opportunities have been there and he's been unable to really grasp them. And sometimes that just happens with players. It doesn't make him a bad player. It doesn't. I mean, there'll be guys at Norwich down the road talking about Adam Eder saying, well, why can't I do that for Norwich? Should we bring Adam Eder back? Is there a future for Adam Eder at Norwich? Well, maybe it just doesn't happen for him there and he just needs a change, which seems to be the viewpoint down there. And he flourishes here. I think that's happening with Mikey Johnson. It happens a lot with players that go on loan. I don't think it's a criticism of Johnson that you know, people say, oh, he can't handle playing for Celtic, blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But my own view is I don't think there's any way back. I think if he can find some good form and find some happiness, Celtic can get a few quid. He can be an important player. It'll further his international career if he's playing every week for West Brom. It looks like an ideal move for him if that can get put through at the end of the season.
He looks happy as well, Mick, in his football down there, you know.
Yeah. Listen, he's been desperately unlucky, Mikey Johnson. I mean, it's been brutal for him. I remember when, I think it was Ange Postecoglou's first pre-season, he got injured and done a friendly game down at Bristol. And I think he kind of hobbled off and he was like kind of upset. And he said, oh, bleep, not again. And that's been the story of his time at Celtic. He's been desperately unlucky with injuries. There's bags of talent there. We've all known that since he was about 14 years old. You heard talk about this kid in the academy that was going to be a world beater. And it just never quite had that run of games that's managed to put it together. Had a new lease of life at West Brom. I agree with Swanee. I think Brendan Rodgers does like him. And he does like players that he can rehabilitate and help and develop and all that stuff. I just think there's a wee bit too much water on the bridge. I think the penny's finally dropped with Mikey. I think Mikey's attitude previously annoyed certain managers. I mean, I know that Rodgers the first time round had a few stern words for him. Neil Lennon as well had a few stern words for him as well. So I think the penny dropped with him, and he's now fit and fire, and he's a good player. But I agree with Swanee. I think maybe best to let him crack on and see how he'll have a great career, no doubt about it. If he stays injury free, but it's maybe time for him to try something in a new environment and go on with it. Yeah, for all parties, and still can make a few quid from it. It's money that they wouldn't expect to have made in January, but that's for sure. But we'll see. It also wouldn't surprise me to come back and be sitting in pre season. That's why I was laughing, because I think Swanee would be the same. How many times I've written that story at the start of a season that this is going to be. It's almost like only fools and horses. This time next year we'll be millionaires. Yeah. We had that kind of story.
The problem is that story has been written too often for Mikey.
That's what I'm just going to say.
It's been written too often at Celtic for Mikey. I mean,
I can't write that. I can't write that again with a straight face. I just can't. I remember back in the day, it was never Richter.
Yeah.
Number three pre-season in a row. This year, you're going to see the real Dirk Director. He actually popped up in some charity game scoring a World Day a couple of weeks ago, didn't he?
Aye, aye.
I was like, he's going to be some mix zone saying, this next time next year, you're going to see the real Dirk Director at 44 years old.
I would agree with Michael. I have to say, Mike's a fantastic footballer. I don't think anybody's taken away from Mikey Johnson's talent. I don't think anybody would try and do that. He's an excellent footballer, and I've seen it in flashes at Celtic, but just not enough, and I think somewhere else is probably the best place for him.
Aye, fair enough. It's Scottish Cup weekend, as we touched on a little earlier. I know Aberdeen are having an absolute shocker of a season, but in a way that kind of, I don't know, makes me a bit more uncomfortable from a Celtic point of view. It's almost like they've got nothing else to play for. It's not going to be easy, this game, obviously, but, I mean, how do you see it, Mick?
I don't think it's going to be... Well, I say I don't think it'll be easy. It could be 5-0 Celtic. We've seen Aberdeen against Celtic and against Hampden, and they fell apart, and I remember fans heading for the door after half an hour and all that stuff. But also, we've seen Aberdeen putting up a good fight in games this season. They've caused Celtic problems this season. Every game they've played, they've been in the game. They've got players that have got ability. They've got attacking players that can be a nuisance. So it could be an awkward afternoon. Aberdeen are, I mean, I just look at a hopeless case, look at a club that's going nowhere at the moment, but that's the only thing. I mean, the manager situation, you think they could have turned the corner a wee bit, but they're back in the, they're back in that kind of, that result with Ross County puts them right back in the kind of danger area again, doesn't it? So they look vulnerable. Again, it's as always in these games, an early goal for Celtic and it could be a cakewalk. Don't get an early goal and Aberdeen dig in and it'd be awkward. It could get a, could be an uncomfortable afternoon. But you think Celtic have got too much for them. But I get what you're saying. Because you know, on paper, Aberdeen have got a decent enough squad, and especially attacking players. You know, Bielowski and Duke. But it's the rest that Aberdeen have to worry about. And the fact that they seem rudderless and seem kind of aimless at the moment. Mm-hmm. But it's a cup semi-final. So anything, I mean, still cliche, isn't it? Anything could happen. And I know I'm covering my bets here by saying it could be tighter, it could be not doing. But you know what I mean? It could go either way.
Either way, aye. If Celtic do get into the final, it then puts pressure on the other side of Glasgow as well. They've probably got the harder semi-final. I mean, obviously, it's all about Celtic.
I don't think what happens Saturday at Hampden affects what happens on Sunday. No. I don't think if Celtic win, it gives Rangers more stress, or if Aberdeen win, it gives Hearts a lift, or both Rangers, I think it matters, and then they're two separate ties. I wouldn't agree that they have any. I wouldn't agree they have any bearing on each other at all. In answer to your question to Michael, I think had the game been a month ago, you would probably have had a little bit more concern for Celtic. I just think the intent they're showing at the moment, the way they're playing and the way the big guys are playing, I don't see them having a problem.
First Scottish Cup final, potentially, between the Old Firm since 2002, I think.
Biggest one since the last one.
Exactly.
First Scottish Cup final
since then, yeah.
That's pretty mad.
Yeah, actually, as when everybody from outside of Scotland and a lot of people inside Scotland tell you it's only two clubs and they dominate and blah blah blah. It's a strange one, yeah. You really like thought about it most times, yeah.
Weirdly, I think Rangers have. You said they've got a tougher tie. I mean, not in previous matches between these two clubs this season. Rangers have been quite comfortable against Hearts. Nice. But I do actually agree. I think this time round, because of what's at stake for Rangers. I mean, Hearts have wanted to win the cup tie. I'm not taking away any kind of their ambition, but the pressure is severely on Rangers for this game. The way the league's kind of tilted this last few days, if they don't get into the final, that's major problem in terms of pressure on them as well. So that's going to be a really, really interesting game. Hearts can't be as bad as they've been previous games against Rangers. I mean, they just can't. I mean, Hearts are a good side. I mean, they're a good, solid side. I mean, they've had Celtic's number this season a couple of times.
No.
So they need to turn up at some point against Rangers. So that'd be interesting. I think it's a major pressure on that one. But especially on Celtic in the Saturday, that's for sure as well. But this is the stage of the season where the pressure is on. So you either embrace it or you go and hide in the bathroom.
One thing's for sure, guys, it won't be boring, whatever happens. I think that brings us to the end of today's Record Celtic podcast. Mick Swanee, it's always a pleasure.
And you, Daniel, thank you very much.
No worries, chaps. We get that Barnett cut and catch up with the rest of us here.
My ears are getting cold.
And thanks very much for listening. Cheers.